We certainly see that God was preparing Moses in a special way to do that, but his answer to Moses was, it's not who you are, it's who I am. That's what's important here. I will be with you. And we, in some ways, have a continuation of that this week. Moses asked the question, who am I? That was verses 11 and 12. Who am I that I should do this? That was his first question. In all, Moses has five questions of the Lord. As we progress through these questions, we'll see that they're a little bit more than questions. They're sort of starting to be objections. Yesterday, I was with my children in Wildwood, and the water was a little cold. And I really didn't want to go in the water. But I went in, and I was at least up to my ankles at first, and then I went in up to my knees. And Joshua and Lydia, my kids, they really wanted me to go in. Anna was there too. And so my first thinking was, okay, well, you know, I need to keep an eye on Anna. And if I go out there further, I'm going to get cold. But if I go out there further, I won't be able to keep an eye on Anna because she's a little bit younger and that lasted for a little bit, and I was able to say, okay, I'm keeping an eye on Anna. I'm saying to myself, well, Anna eventually wanted to go in and sit on the towel, so that removed that objection because I couldn't really say that anymore, and so. Then Joshua and Anna's like, well, come on, Dad, let's go. You need to dive into the waves. You need to jump into the waves. And again, I was too cold. I didn't really want to. I didn't want to put my head in the water. You know, it's all right. My knees get a little bit, you know, cold. But so I'm thinking, okay, well, what other objection, you know, can I come up with here? And so my objection is, of course, well, The waves aren't big enough, really. You know, they're not going to carry my big body very far, so I'm not going to even bother getting wet, right? And so that was my next objection. That's sort of what we have Moses doing here, right? He doesn't really want to do what the Lord is telling him to do. You, go take my people out of Egypt. I've called you to do it. Now, that's a hard task. How many years had his people been in slavery? 400 years. How many years had Moses been absent from Egypt? 40 years. He doesn't really want to do it. But he starts out by just asking questions. Well, who am I? And here we say, well, his second question is what? Who are you? He doesn't really want to do it, but okay, well, who am I? Who are you? And we'll see that God is very patient with Moses. He's called Moses to be his man, but he's very patient with him. And he answers each of his objections as Moses raises him. So let's take a look at the second objection that Moses has, the second question that Moses has. Who are you? Who are you? Now, I think this question in some ways is a little bit of an illegitimate question because God had already answered who he was. Back in verse 12, he had said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He had already answered that. He had already said who he was. Verse 6. I got the wrong verse. Back in verse 6, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had already told them that. He had told them who he was. But here he has Moses wanted to find out a little bit more about this. Now, it's kind of, the way he words this question is kind of interesting, right? Because how does he start out in verse 13? Moses said to God, suppose I go. Suppose I go and to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, when I was growing up, sometimes my mom would send me to the corner store. She said, I want you to go and get a gallon of milk, or I want you to go and get some butter, or I want you to go and get some eggs. You know, we'd run out of little things. It's just, you send me to the corner store. Now, if I had said, suppose I go to my mom, I don't think that would have gone over too well, right? I mean, my mom would have said, what do you mean, suppose you go? I told you to go. Go! Right? That's kind of what Moses is doing here. Suppose I go, Lord. I know you told me to go, but suppose I go. You just told me that you would be with me, but suppose I go. We have a sense in which Moses was focusing again upon himself, his own inadequacy. Moses, suppose I go. Why would Moses have thought that he was inadequate? You know, I think that was the first thing that the Lord dealt with. Look, it's not about you, Moses, it's about me. I'm going to be with you. And now he's hitting them with the same thing again. Moses, it's not about you, it's about me. Moses could have thought, well, look, I was really raised an Egyptian. I was raised in Pharaoh's court. Suppose the Israelites really aren't going to listen to me, because they're going to say I'm an Egyptian. He could have been thinking that. Certainly a possibility. He could have been thinking also, look, I've been out of Egypt for 40 years. And the last time I was in Egypt, I had killed somebody. Why would they listen to me? In verse 13. Why would they listen to me? Again, focused on his own inadequacy. His own inadequacy. Or perhaps he, when he gets to Egypt and he says to the people of Israel, the Lord called me to bring you out of the land of slavery. I was in the desert and I saw this bush and it wasn't burning up, and this voice came from the bush and told me that I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. What would the Israelites have really thought of that? That was such an incredible thing that would be almost hard to believe that someone would do that. Suppose I go. Well, that's the question. Suppose I go. So we have here, God understanding Moses' feelings of inadequacy and patiently answering his question. Patiently answering his question. Did Moses know the name of the Lord? He asked to know God's name. Did he know the name of the Lord? Had the Lord revealed his name before this? Certainly this is the first time that he calls himself, I am who I am. But we do know that throughout the book of Genesis that people called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 4, verse 26, Seth called on before Seth was born, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Isaac called on the name of the Lord. All these times in Genesis, did Moses know God's name? What was Moses really trying to get at when he called on the name of the Lord? What's in a name? What was Moses asking? Many of us, my dad likes to talk, tell stories about how we got our names. On the way to the hospital, how he and his mom, he and my mom, talked about, names on the way to the hospital. We probably all have stories about how we got our name. Some of us may have been named after a loved one, a relative. Some of us may have been named after someone in Scripture. Some of us, there's a boxer, George Foreman. He named all of his children George, right? and all of his boys. He had about four or five boys, and he says, well, I know if I call George that one of them's going to come. There's something to a name. Yesterday we were at Wildwood, and my daughter, a little girl comes up to my daughter and says, hello, I am Percy or Taylor or something, and what's your name? Okay, she wanted to know. That's the first thing that we do when we introduce ourselves to someone. Hi, I'm Joel. What's your name? I think there's something that about names that says something about who we are. I named my children certain things because that's what I wanted them to be. And as we look in Scripture, we can see how people's names said something about who they were. We have Jacob, right? The trickster. His name meant that. That's what his name meant. And we see that throughout Scripture. Joshua, the Lord, or Joel, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. And that was what the prophet Joel proclaimed. But names are more than just, they say something about who we are. And when Moses asked God, what is your name? Who shall I say sent me? He's asking for the very essence of God, that God would let him know who he is. He wants to know more than he's just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wants to know more about God. He wants more proof that he is God. And of course, how does the Lord answer Moses? He says, I am who I am. I am. I am who I am. The Old Testament, in Hebrew, there are no vowels. And so in Hebrew, this would be YHWH. Okay? YHWH. There was something special about I am who I am. There was something special about the name, the Lord. That's what we have here, the name, the Lord. There was something very different. This was the first way that God had revealed himself in this way up to this point. The early scholars in the church captured this, where when they would translate the Bible, when they would write out the Bible, and they'd translate from Hebrew into other languages, or when they would write out the Bible in Hebrew, a scribe would write this all out. And they would write out, and when they would come to this passage, I am who I am, the YHWH, they would skip. They would leave a blank in that spot. They would put down their pen, and they would pick up a special pen that was only used for these letters, the God pen, and they would write those letters in. There was something special, that God is holy. God is holy. Later on, we have the connection of the word Adonai with this name, and the word Yahweh. But there was this name, we'll see, in the New Testament even, it was the name of the Lord. It was the name. It wasn't referred to as Yahweh. So what's in a name? This is something special. God is revealing something special here about himself. He is. God says, I am who I am. I am has sent me to you. What does that say about God? Our names say something about us. What does Yahweh say about God? What does that mean about God? Well, there's something mysterious about that, right? I am that I am. Could you imagine introducing yourself to someone that way? I am that I am. I am, I am. The great I am. How many times is this word I am used? As we read through these verses, in verse 12, I will be with you. Verse 14, I am, is used three times there. The Lord is used in verse 15. But these all refer to something about God. It's, in some ways, God is saying, look, this is really too wonderful for you. This is beyond you. You know, I can't really tell you everything about myself because you couldn't comprehend it. Just know that I am. I am. Just know that I am. That's what he's saying here. What's in a name? The first is that God is mysterious. There's something mysterious about him. Notice number two, that God doesn't say I was, or he doesn't say I will be. He says I am. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. Psalm 110 says that he does not change his mind. He's eternal, unchangeable. It says something that God is eternal, unchangeable. He's mysterious, but he's unchangeable. He just is. He was here before all of creation. He will be here. He is. There is no past for God. He is. He's self-existent. Number three, by the power of God, I am what I am is what we say, right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Does God need to say that? No, because he is. I am. He's just, I am, right? He doesn't have to say by the grace of God, I am what I am. He just is. He does not depend on anything. He simply is. And I think this is a good, it's illustrated very well in what? In the burning bush. There's no mistake that, you know, what was happening first was God's illustration to Moses. Look, here's a burning bush. Moses comes to it, it's not burning up. Why is it not burning up? You know, if we throw a stick on a fire, eventually it burns up, right? The bush doesn't burn up. Why? Because I am is there. God doesn't run out of energy. You know, he created the world. He is. I am. He's there. He's not going to burn up. He gives Moses a physical demonstration of what he is. He answers Moses' objection to him. Who should I say sent me? Tell him I am sent you. That's all you need to know. I am sent you. I am the God who is with you. So what does that have to do with us? Moses was called in a special way to do something special for the Lord. And the Lord is trying to teach him in his answers to Moses' objections that, look, I called you. It's about me. It's not about you. I want you to do this. You're my man for the job. I will be with you. And you tell the people that I am has sent you. But what does that have to do with us? What can we learn from this this morning? Is this God, the same God that is our God? Where else is the words I am used in Scripture? I think there's probably a few other instances, but throughout the Old Testament, this is not used very often. I think Joshua 5, verse 13, before Joshua goes into the land, an angel of the Lord appears to him and says, and Joshua says to the angel of the Lord, are you with us or are you with the enemy? And what was the angel's answer? As commander of the Lord's army, I am come. Now, you know, you read the translation there, because I know you're going to check me out on this later, Joshua 5:13. It's not quite the way it's translated, but what does Moses do? He falls down in worship. Now, are we to worship angels? Who do we worship? We worship the Lord. That was Joshua's response. As commander of the Lord's army, I am come, and he falls down in worship. The Lord was leading them. The Lord, that same I am, who told Moses, I am is with you, was with Joshua. I am come as commander of the Lord's army. Another illustration of this being used, the I am, perhaps was in Judges, verse 13. Again, an angel appears to Manoah and his wife, says, you're going to have a baby. And this baby is dedicated to the Lord. And Manoah, you know, wants a sign, and they get a sign from the Lord. And then the Lord, or the angel ascends in the smoke that comes from the offering. And Manoah sees this, and he thinks he's dead. He thinks he's going to die because what happens? Because he's seen the Lord. He falls down in worship. I am. That same I am comes to Moses to Manoah and tells him that he will have a son, Samson, that will rescue the Lord's people. And of course, God has given us his son too. This is what it has to do with us. Because really, this I am, this whole account of Moses is pointing forward to Christ. The book of John chapter 8. Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees. And they come to the point where they say, we are descendants of Abraham. And there's almost a whole chapter of argument between Jesus and Moses. And finally, Jesus puts the whole argument to rest, and he says to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. And what was the Pharisees' response? Well, they wanted to stone him, because why? If he was saying, I am, he was claiming to be what? God. That was blasphemy as far as they were concerned. Before Abraham was, I am. So really, when we look at Moses, we are looking at the Christ who was to come. It's pointing forward to that same I am who was with the people back in the time of the Exodus. That same I am is the God who comes as Emmanuel, God with us, who comes as the great I am in Jesus Christ to save us. Jesus, throughout the book of John, there's seven times when he says something about himself. And he starts each time by saying, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the living water. There's a warning here, a solemn warning from Jesus. He says that if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will be in your sins. You will die in your sins. We're warned that we need to believe in the great I am. There's one way to be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you're not trusting in Jesus this day, come and trust him. John 8:28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am the one I claim to be. Come unto him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When you graduate from West Point, or when you graduate from Annapolis or the Air Force Academy, you get a commission. You graduate with a commission in the Lord's Army. And we talked about that a little bit last week, where Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. And I will be with you, he says. We are commissioned to bring the good news of the gospel to others. And we are commissioned, there's a commission comes from the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief of the Lord of the Army, saying, this is what you're going to do. Well, we have a greater commission than that. We have a commission from the great I am, from the God who was and who is to come. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And surely I will be with you always. Let's not be like Moses. I don't really want to go. That's our excuse, isn't it? I don't really want to go. But I have a commission from the Lord of hosts. Go, make disciples of all nations. Let's close in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we pray, O Lord, that we would be faithful unto you. That we would call those who have not heard the good news of the gospel, that we would call them to repentance. Oh Lord, we pray that if we have not repented in our own hearts, that we would repent this day and come unto you. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.